a little bit of a hiatus for a couple of days where we regroup and get going in for the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight over the weekend. Ricky O'Donnell, SB Nation, covering college basketball. Ricky Mapparalt, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. All right, let's start with the headline. Duke's preseason number one juggernaut turns into Coach K's greatest bust, written by you for on SBNation.com. Why?
Well, I just feel like there was so much hype coming into the season, and naturally the response from the Duke fans is that that's media created, and that's true. But if you just look at the roster, I want to say there was 9 McDonald's All-Americans on that roster, not counting Harry Giles, who was the number one recruit in the country. He only wasn't McDonald's All-American because he was hurt at the time. There was really no question at the beginning of the season who the preseason number one was. It was Duke. It was everyone else after that. They were the most loaded team since that Kentucky team with Karl-Anthony Towns, Devin Booker, Tyler Ulis, those guys. I know that was only 2 years ago, but it was similar in terms of just how much blue-chip talent was on that team. And the season really just crumbled before it even started. I mean, the three freshmen, Tatum, Giles, Marquise Bolden, they all had injuries to start the season. Giles was supposed to be a potential number one overall NBA draft pick. He looked like a shell of himself. He's just had such bad knee injuries, and he had another one at the start of the year. So that's just a bit of bad luck. And then Grayson Allen, who was our number one player in college basketball at the start of the season, he averaged 22 points a game as a sophomore a year ago in the toughest conference in America in the ACC. He really regressed this year. He had to play a new role. He was the de facto point guard because Duke didn't have a point guard. He had to get Tatum and Luke Kennard involved. It just never really gelled. So to me, you look at this Duke team on paper, and they were just so ridiculously talented. But, you know, the pieces didn't really fit as well as I think Coach K was expecting them to.
Well, speaking of the ACC, and I would agree with you, toughest conference in America. However, they have not played well here in this tournament. In your opinion, why has the ACC struggled so mightily here in March?
Yeah, well, the first thing I'm going to say on that is that college basketball, the postseason, tends to like define the sport so much, which is a single elimination tournament, so there's a lot of variance in that. Kind of anything could happen. Like, for sure the ACC was better than the Big Ten this year, but there's what, 3 Big Ten teams in the Sweet 16,
right?
So you know, it just happens in a single elimination tournament. I think that you'd have to go on a case-by-case example of why the ACC lost, but it's crazy storyline for sure, because at the beginning of the season there was talk that the ACC could get 11 teams in the NCAA tournament. To only have Carolina left standing is really incredible.
Which is a bigger shock to you, that Duke lost or that Louisville lost? I mean, I guess who they lost to comes into play here, but that was as hostile of an environment that I can remember ever for an NCAA tournament for Duke. That was literally a road game for Duke.
Yeah, the Duke loss was way more shocking. I would say the Louisville loss to Michigan was a coin flip. I kind of had a feeling Michigan would win late coming into that, just because they had such great momentum coming into that game. I mean, they won the Big Ten tournament. They were really impressive against Oklahoma State in their first-round game. So I would say that wasn't surprising. I viewed that game as a coin flip. However, USC versus Duke was just crazy. South Carolina was incredible in the second half. I think they scored 65 second half points in that game after really struggling offensively in the first half. To me, South Carolina won that game. Duke didn't lose it, if you want to have the classic sports writer argument, because they were just operating at such a high level offensively. They're hitting all their perimeter jump shots. They were able to break Duke's defense down off the dribble to get to the hoop. So I think the South Carolina win was incredible. To think that the third place finisher and the SEC is knocking off the preseason number one, it's crazy.
Ricky O'Donnell, SB Nation, joining us here on SB Nation Radio. So you mentioned the ACC and what they've done, how poorly they played. But on the other side, the Big Ten, I ripped the Big Ten this year. I thought it was a horrible year for the Big Ten. But like you mentioned, there are three teams still standing, and Michigan is going to be a really, really tough out with the way they've playing since they won the Big Ten tournament and had that scare with the airplane, maybe, you know, galvanizing that team and gelling that team together. What has been the Big Ten secret here, and which do you think could wind up getting to Phoenix for a Final Four?
I'm going to say Wisconsin's the favorite in that region now with Duke out, with Villanova out. That East region, just it seemed obvious that either of those teams was going to come through the region, right? And now, here's Wisconsin, still alive, while the other two are out. So I'm thinking that, you know, Wisconsin's got a great shot at going to another Final Four. As for Michigan, I would say that's a really winnable game against Oregon. Oregon's down Chris Boucher, which you're going to hear a million times coming into this game. He was one of their best interior players. And the way Derek Walton, their senior point guard, has been playing over the last 3-4 weeks has just been ridiculous. He's reminded me of Trey Burke, where Trey Burke basically willed them to the national championship game back in 2013. Derek Walton is playing at a similar level, and Purdue, Kansas is going to be interesting as well. I picked Purdue to win it all. They were my preseason pick in the beginning of the year. I thought they were the best team for – oh, I'm sorry. I picked Kansas to win it all in the beginning of the year. I thought Kansas was the best team coming into the tournament as well. However, I think the matchup with Purdue is going to be really interesting because Kansas's weakness the whole season is that they're just kind of soft inside. They only have one true big man, Landon Lucas. Landon Lucas is kind of like a veteran role player. He's not like a five-star recruit that you would expect at a place like Kansas. And Kansas plays small. Now, conversely, Purdue has the best big man in the country, Caleb Swanigan, who's been amazing in the first two NCAA tournament games. He leads the country in double-doubles. I think he's got like 27 double-doubles on the season. He's even put up like 4 or 5 20-20 games. So Swanigan is just so talented. That's going to be a really interesting matchup. Can Kansas run them off the floor, or is Purdue going to establish the pace in their favor and gash them inside?
You know, Ricky, looking at the number one seeds that are left here in the tournament, Nova being the one that was bounced, but you have Gonzaga, North Carolina. When I'm looking at the breakdowns here and the games they're going to have, I initially thought that Gonzaga was going to be the easier mark, the easier team to get knocked out, but I was really scared with the way that North Carolina played over the weekend. Who is the most likely of the one seeds left to get bounced?
I guess if the question is if you're asking in the Sweet 16 specifically or in the regional, because I can see Gonzaga losing to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I would take Gonzaga over West Virginia, though. I think that, West Virginia has such a hard time scoring in the half court. They need to force turnovers. And Gonzaga secretly has great guards, and that's actually the difference between this Gonzaga team and the other Gonzaga teams that have came up short in the past. Nigel Williams-Goss, former McDonald's All-American, he was a leading scorer at Washington Pac-12 team a couple of years ago, and compare him to the other guards Gonzaga's had. I mean, he doesn't look or play anything like them. I'm thinking back to Kevin Pangos, who they groomed for 4 years to be their starter point guard. Well, when they played Duke in the Elite Eight 2 years ago, Tyus Jones, as a freshman, just tore him apart because he just didn't have like the size, the athleticism, that you need deep in the tournament when teams typically have awesome guards. And now Gonzaga actually has an awesome guard, Nigel Williams-Goss, who's been their best player the whole year. So I'm not answering the question, I guess.
Well, it's a Kansas, North Carolina. Who is more likely not to make it to Phoenix, Kansas, Gonzaga, or North Carolina?
I'm going to say Gonzaga just because I think Arizona could beat them. It's going to be interesting. I like Arizona's match against Gonzaga, though.
Yeah, I think it's good. I have Arizona winning it all, so I'm with you on that point. And then you get into the whole home court advantage thing being played in Phoenix. I know it's not Tucson, but we saw what happens in South Carolina when you have your fans around. It can turn into one raucous of an atmosphere. Of all the teams in the Sweet 16 that are there right now, is there anybody that you're completely shocked that they're still playing?
I mean, South Carolina is the easy answer. Just because they have that matchup with Duke, it's like, who saw that coming? I don't think anyone did. And then Xavier, too. Xavier always goes to the Sweet 16. They've done it under 3 different coaches. They did it under Thad Matta. They did it under Sean Miller. Now they're doing it under Chris Mack. Yet somehow we're still shocked that Xavier's in this position. But, I thought last year's Xavier team was really, really good. I picked that team, I think, to make the Elite Eight last year. And they came up short in the round of 32. They lost on a Bronson Koenig buzzer beater against Wisconsin. But Xavier was awesome last year. This year, Xavier not as good because they had Edmund Sumner, who was a potential first-round NBA draft pick. He was their point guard. He tore his ACL, so he's been out for the second half of the season. They also had Miles Davis, who was a senior guard, really good shooter, who left the team in the middle of the year. So Xavier's down 2 starters. Trayvon Blue is playing out of his mind. He is really one of the more underrated players in college basketball. He was amazing the first 2 rounds of this tournament. So I'm shocked Xavier's still here, but I mean, they're always here, so maybe we can do that surprise.
Ricky, I'm out of time, bud. Thanks for the time tonight. Really appreciate it.
Cool, thanks.
Ricky O'Donnell, SB Nation, joining us here on Game Night, SB Nation Radio.